If you're not stacking sats and you're, you know, worrying and betting against the market and timing the market, you're doing it all wrong. Just relax, do a regular, you know, buy of Bitcoin, whether it be on an hourly basis, regular basis, daily basis, weekly basis, it doesn't matter. And, you know, and that's why I'm really looking forward to my next talk to with Joss and Hesma Cook. Hesma Cook has been on my show several times, but Joss is a great entrepreneur. He's got this new platform in France, Stacking Sats. Eventually, it's going to be translated in other languages, but you can already start stacking, you know, via SAPE account in European Union. So we're going to go down the rabbit hole, you know, what it means, stacking sats and auto-DCAing for the plebs, with the plebs, and what does it mean versus, you know, the institutional FOMO that's going on right now with all the billions now flowing into Bitcoin. So without further ado, this is my talk with Joss and Hesma Cook. If you enjoyed this, please give it a like, share, retweet, and give it a five-star review, please, on Apple Podcasts or iTunes if you love this episode, and have fun. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Joss, Hesma Cook, how are you?
How's it going? Good, good, very thanks. Good. How are you?
Welcome to the show. Yeah, it's a great, beautiful day outside. It's becoming more and more sunny. So, Joss, you are the first time on my show. I would love to, I just checked out your website. It looks so cool. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, and then we'll get to Hes.
Okay. So I have, we have built Stacking Sats, which is a DCA service in France, and in French speaking country in Europe. So we can serve Switzerland, Belgium, France. My background is not related to finance or anything like this. I used to do visual effects for movies. And I have a very old friend of mine who is a very good financial guy. He did all these kind of studies, and he did a startup about investing. So he was like a robo advisor in France. And he is a very old friend of mine who sold his previous startup. And I wanted to change industry because I spent like 10 years in the movie industry and I had enough of it. So we joined our force together to build this auto DCA service in France. So that's a 2-minute introduction, I would say. And yeah, also we did the Surfing Bitcoin as a French conference oriented. What did I mean to speak about Bitcoin to a pre-coiner? So to explain in a very basic words and in an understandable way what Bitcoin is. And it was aim also to go against the mainstream media talk about Bitcoin. You know, there are always a lot of bullshit, they say. So we try to put another talk about Bitcoin dedicated to newcomers. So that was the aim of Surfing Bitcoin.
That's amazing. So who was the first person to orange peel you, or, you know, where you went a little bit deeper into the rabbit hole?
I would say it was internet. I was red peeled by the plebs, I would say. Uh-huh. But the first person I met in this was Francis Puglio in Montreal. And then I get introduced, you know, all the meetup in Montreal with a very strong Bitcoin scene. So that's where I get my Bitcoin education, I would say, from there. And I came back in France in early 2019, and we opened Stacking Sats early 2020.
Great, great. Yeah. So, I have a bunch of questions for you, Joss, but let's get a little bit back to Hesma Cook, or, you know, Fry Hes, as he calls him on Twitter. You know what I've noticed you've written like a bunch of beautiful articles and, you know, as you call it, a large, you know, body of knowledge on all kinds of FUDs, you know, Bitcoin mining, whatever, but you don't get the credit for that. Why is that?
It's look, It's probably because I'm more interested in shit posting than learning how to use Hootsuite and time tweets to advertise my articles. So I kind of put them on there. I share them once they're written, and then I just kind of forget about them, leave them as a body of knowledge. So the thing is, with the Friar title and the Friar beard, you can only truly become so religious about Bitcoin and about DCAing once you've explored several different rabbit holes at differing levels of depth, no more so than the energy rabbit hole. Because once you get your head around energy, you really understand how beautiful and unstoppable Bitcoin really is.
No, it's just so amazing. I mean, how much you know content you've put out, and you know, I wish other people who are, you know, writing articles or at least, you know, quoting or citing you, they, you know, at least they would, you know, but they're not citing or quoting you. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's just not fair, I think, you know, to not give you credit for that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, you're doing God's work here. So and Joss, you know, what I want to talk about is, I think there's this misconception and or a confusion, you know, amongst the plebs or people, you know, who are buying into Bitcoin on a regular basis. And however you know, I was just, you know, privately, you know, talking to Joss before the recording, that however you calculated it, people have always been better off if they, you know, didn't time the market or bet against the market and just, you know, relax. And it took me some time, you know, to get that. But do you want to elaborate on that a little bit, either of you?
Yeah, I'll let Joss, because he's probably more intimate with the real world data that's coming in on the auto DCA front.
Please.
Actually, for me, the numbers are not that important in when you DCA, because I mean, it's less risky to do DCA because you average the volatility. So the thing is, if you put $10,000 at a specific time, if you're lucky, it can be better for your return to put like $10,000 when you just time the perfect bottom, instead of putting $10,000, you know, in a $100 increments every weeks. So you can have better return just with a one shot if you're very lucky and you time very well the market. DCA has less return, but has less risk. So for me, numbers are not very important. What is very important is when you DCA, you just remove the headache of the price of when, you know, that you cannot quantify it, you know, how much it removes the headache and the stress and the emotion of when to improve on the task. So how do you price it compared to the better return to have invest on the better time? I don't know. I haven't run the number because you cannot quantify it. But the best thing about DCA is just remove the stress, the pressure. You know that you have $10 every Monday going to be converted into Bitcoin, and you just do your stuff, and you all the brain juice you use to time the market and to look at the chart 24/7. Just remove it, do something useful with your brain juice, and you know that in a year or two or three, you have put this amount of money to convert into Bitcoin, and you're happy. You know, you just check your wallet every few months. You say, oh, how many Bitcoin I have? You know, how many time I'm millionaire in Satoshi? And I think that's better, because you can run all the calculation. Client asks us, is it better to invest on Monday, on Thursday, every week or every month? I mean, on the long run, so the difference is so subtle. For me, it doesn't work to calculate, look, all this stuff.
Look, I have run the numbers. And
I know you run a lot of numbers.
And what you're saying is correct, in that the difference between like daily and weekly, there's basically no difference. And depending on your luck, depending on what day of the week you started your weekly, some weeks, days to start might be better than others.
Exactly.
But anything longer than weekly, you tend to sit too much time out of the game. So if you've got a monthly DCA, all right, you get paid monthly. But if you only buy once a month, you are buying Bitcoin on only 12 of 365 days of the year.
Yeah, so
it's not enough time, like, in the game. So buying 50 times a year, you know, once a week, probably better. If you want to be a psycho like me, you know, really small amounts, multiple times daily. But like, I have scaled back to daily because reporting has become, you know, too difficult. If they're KYC coins, you know, if you do, you know, three buys a day, your spreadsheet will have 2,000 lines in it at the end of the year when you give it to the accountant. So find your balance. I think a weekly DCA is the sweet spot. You know, weekly, daily, same thing. I like daily just so I can say that today I had more sats than yesterday.
Yeah.
And the person... Yeah, go on, Josh.
Yeah, no, I got to finish. I have a lot of stuff to say.
And even though, like, in a bull market, DCA does return less, on average, we're in a bear market for most of the time. It's probably 75% of the time we are in bear market and 25% of the time we are in bull market. But if you put in a lump sum on the 1st of January, you're up 50% now, 45 grand. But if you've been buying every single day, like, you're still up like 36, 37%. So you're not that far behind, you know, a lump sum, especially because, you know, we tend to have quick rips and then, you know, a little bit of a slow drawdown. So you have time during the slow drawdown.
What about hourly? What about hourly? Is that a strategy? I mean, there's a minimum probably threshold to buy, right? I mean, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
The exchange I use in Australia, there is no minimum buy. I think a Satoshi is a minimum buy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing hourly, that's, you know, 24 times 365 lines in your spreadsheet. So you're going to be giving your accountant at the end of the year a spreadsheet with 70,000 lines.
Okay.
Of every discrete purchase, what its cost basis was, what time you purchased. So if you live in the Cayman Islands or somewhere where the government is completely off your back and you're allowed to trade and do whatever you do, buy one Satoshi a second, write a script. You know, like deltabadger.com allows you to do that. But in like a practical sense where you have to, like, you know, log your purchases and it's KYC, like, probably don't bother yourself with more than, you know, daily. And again, depends on the structure of your exchange, the fee structure. You know, some exchanges, you know, have minimum orders. You have to buy a minimum of $10 for an order or $50 for an order. In that case, you might do weekly instead of daily. But if an exchange lets you buy a dollar's worth, it's probably better to buy, you know, a dollar a day than $30 a month, because you're spending too much time, like, out of the game.
Yeah, I want to hear Joss' take on that, but let me just had a thought. First of all, Delta Badge, I use that. I think I used the contingency up because there was a volume up to which, you know, you could do this for free. I mean,
okay.
I'm sure it's totally worth it. But then afterwards, I don't know what the maximum threshold is. Is it like 400, 500 euros or dollars?
Look, I think Dennis Ryman made a script for Kraken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like open source. It's on his GitHub and like it's unlimited.
Is it techie? Like, do you have to, like, to, I mean, is it just a plug and play to download?
Even be like some documentation on GitHub on like how to run it. But basically, okay. I think you just plug in your Kraken account's like API key or link and you just get it to do what you need to do. It's very similar to Delta Badger, but it's, you know, obviously DIY. And I think it's only for Kraken. Because, like, that's just something he made for himself and he's open sourced.
Cool. Joss, sorry, you didn't want to interrupt you.
So, I mean, the frequency where when you buy, it's also depend of how long you expose yourself to Bitcoin. If you want to expose yourself over like 6 months, yeah, maybe daily or weekly is better than monthly for sure. if on the long run, like 3, 4, 5, 10 years, weekly is still better to just get more to profit more the volatility. But there will be some technical aspect also as well. So if you go on an exchange, it depends how long you want to keep your coins on the exchange before you withdraw it, right? Yep. So let's say if you buy every second and you withdraw every second, you're going to get hit by the withdraw fee a lot, right?
Yep.
And same if you do like us in Stacking Sat, we just deliver straight to the wallet of our customers.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. So in that case, you'd probably want to stretch out your time a little more.
Exactly. So it depends because you have maybe it's better performance-wise to put $10 every Monday, you know, just to catch more the volatility of Bitcoin. But at the end of the day, is it better to have 52 UTXOs, you know, of $10 or only 12 UTXOs or 40 bucks equivalent of Bitcoin at the time you buy it? Because at the end of the day, at some point, you have to consider your UTXOs. So if you know how to manage it, that could be, you know, so there is always pro and cons.
Definitely trade-offs.
So it depends of you how you DCA it. If you are happy to leave your coins on an exchange for months, and you can put like $1 every hour if you want to do your DCA. It depends. There is trade-off for both. But on the long run, as long as you DCA whatever amount and whatever frequency, you're doing good.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, so definitely there's considerations platform for platform. Different strategies attract different fees. So like I said, like with my exchange, for example, the one I use, like there's fees for depositing money. You know, there's fees for everything. But once the money is in the system, it's pretty much do as much as you want, like almost no fees. So other exchanges, it might be like, you know, buying the actual Bitcoin is a higher fee, but there's unlimited withdrawals or, you know, unlimited deposits. So as the journey always goes, you know, you do your own research, you weigh up your options, like you weigh up your competitors and you go for the one that's best for you. But I am liking the direct to cold storage model more and more. Or the automatic, so like some exchanges offer like a threshold based withdrawal system. So once you reach, you know, 0.2 of a Bitcoin, will initiate a withdrawal, you know?
Yeah, and that lives up to the principle of not your keys, not your coins, you know, best, I think, right? Because
I agree. I really like it for that reason, you know, force people to hold their coins.
Right.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's very complicated for newcomers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I just wanted to come back to your accounting thing about, you know, buying having an Excel sheet with 1,000 lines of buys. And it's not that complicated to run the numbers because you do a weighted average of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
When
yeah.
you buy and sell a lot, if you just buy at the end of the day,
it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
It's just like you would say, okay, average weighted, boom, one button, and you get your average price of buying. It's when you sell and buy and sell a lot that is going to become a nightmare.
So, exactly, yeah. So, and then, you know, you get in this nightmare of taxes and capital, whatever. I mean, it would be crazy, people exposing themselves to this kind of madness. There's something I want to ask. Yeah, the combination, you know, I used to tell people, when friends, like, you know, ask me how much should I buy, you know, regular basis, like, you know, just do auto DCA. Maybe, you know, if you see on a relative basis a dip, you know, buy the fucking dip. What do you make of that?
I'll let Joss go.
So our aim with Stacking Sat is to make Bitcoin easily accessible to people. So that's why we start with 10 euro a day, 10 euro a week, or 10 euro a month. Can Can you reframe the question for me, please? So,
yeah, you know, people always ask me, like, when friends like ask me how much should they buy on a regular basis, you know, every time, and I'm like, just, you know, relax, just set it up and or buy on a regular basis, and if you see like on a relative time scale, or how should I call it, like a weekly, monthly, or you see like now it dipped like what to 38,000 euros or something, euros at least, I know that, or 39,000, you know, buy a bigger chunk of Bitcoin. That's what I'm saying, you know, sort of the combination.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, it depends of every person, because you cannot be an advisor of how you invest your money. So we wanted to do something very low and easy to access with 10 euro from 10 euro, because we wanted people to just put some leftover money and just, you know, something who doesn't impact their finance. So they have this choice. So after, if you have already some savings, maybe you want to convert this saving at some point in Bitcoin. So you can, instead of putting your salary to Bitcoin, you say, okay, I have this saving. I have $1,000. I want to maybe put $500 throughout the year, and you calculate your frequency and what you do, and you can keep your $500 to buy the dip if you want. So that's it's everybody gonna have a different answer depending of how risky they think Bitcoin is, what the faith they have in Bitcoin, because person who invests in Bitcoin need to have faith that the price is going to go up, you know? So it depends on what. So if you want to do like very short-term speculation because you say, oh my God, I'm going to miss a train, I need to buy now, you know, your typical FOMO stuff, maybe you should not put too much money at once and buy the first dip you see, because you're going to see so many dip after and say, oh damn, it dipped $200 lower this time, damn, I should have wait. And then you enter this mindset of, oh, I need to wait, and you want to time the market, and you're gonna FOMO. So just put the headache out of your head.
Exactly. Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
And then after, if you say, oh, this is the best time to buy, and you want to time the market and play a bit of gambling, you know, you put or just do a DCA, and you say, this is the good price I want to buy Bitcoin. Put a order limit and wait for it to happen. You know, that can be another technique as well, because you know you just remove your mind of, I need to look at the chart every minute. That's especially at the beginning, it's so addictive, you know, for when you get your first sat and you see it move and say, oh damn, and you want more, right, and you look at the chart again and again.
Not just at the beginning. Yeah. It stays addictive.
Yeah, but I mean, when you go through like a 2-year or 3-year bear market, at some points you just, You know, there is this meme where you have like the guy with behind his computer, 49,000, you know, 50,000, yay, 50,001, you know. It's okay, we know you're going to hit 50,000, you're going to go down, you're going to go up again, and we don't know. And let's see, like, come back in 4 or 5 years, and now we're going to look at the price, you know. Look at the price every halving. But okay.
No, you're so right. I mean, you know, it causes so much stress and anxiety and really burnout just to think of the price constantly. You know, one sat is one sat, one Bitcoin is one Bitcoin. This is the rule. This is the ultimate, you know, mindset we should all have, you know, like, and it's hard. I mean, because it's constantly, you know, measured in this fiat denominated currency. It's crazy, you know, instead of, you know, just reducing your time preference to the lowest possible and just think, you know, long-term, whether it be 5 years or 10 years, because we can't even fathom, you know, the purchasing power of every single sat.
For me, you know, when you reach this stage of, I don't care of the price, I just DCA, you know, you like the Zen Buddhist who just don't give a shit of what's going on around him and he's just quiet, you know? You know, it's just at some point you reach a level where you're peaceful with it and you don't really care. It doesn't affect you at all and you can do your regular life.
Yeah, the Bitcoin, look, I love the question, how much should I put in? Because like for me, that question is the start of a very deep conversation. So for me, like it depends on what you're there for. Like you want to put money into Bitcoin, why? like, what's your aim? So different aims will have a different like level of investment. And I hate using that word investment because I don't like treat Bitcoin like an investment. Like, as you know, I treat Bitcoin literally like a personal religion to me. So I got into Bitcoin for freedom, sovereignty, ridding the world of corrupt bankers and crooks, ending the robbery of the masses by inflation. And, you know, I've found a religion, or I found like a charitable organization whose mission statement is, you know, for the eradication of the Cantillon effect from Earth. That's the charitable mission of Bitcoin. And to make sure this charity succeeds, I give 20% of what I earn to Bitcoin. Maybe one day it'll give it back to me. Maybe it won't. But the more people that, you know, religiously commit to this charitable organization to find a cure for the Cantillon effect, it's the, you know, it's the second ever charity where you donate and you can become rich for donating if the charity succeeds towards its aims. So the Mormons give 20% of their income to the church. I think the Jews have a 10% tithe. The Muslims have 2.5% wealth tax. Anything you own every year, 2.5% of it has got to be like given, you know, to charity or the church. So if you feel that strongly about, you know, Bitcoin and changing the world, don't treat it like an investment. Treat it as a charity, and then nominate a percentage of your gross income. So if you make $100,000 dues, Aussie dollars a year, that's probably, I don't know, 100 euros. right? If you're super religious, you know, save $20,000 dues a year. If you're not super religious, save $5,000 dues a year, and so on and so forth. And really, it only takes like 10 million people to think like how I think, and Bitcoin will be $1 million.
Yeah, I've had this, by the way, you know, I've had this super fascinating conversation.
Like, it doesn't take many people to buy, you know, chipping in 10 bucks a day, 50 bucks a day. But every day, if you've got 1 million or 5 million people doing that, like, it becomes irresistible, the amount of fiat flow that comes. It's like, it's not as much as Michael Saylor's 1 billion.
This is the question I want to ask.
But in 20 days, it is as much as Michael Saylor's 1 billion. And then, like, and Michael Saylor isn't coming up with a billion every 20 days. He's coming up with one here or there. He has to announce it so people front run him and dump on him. So he's still learning as well. He should have DCA'd his $1 billion. Instead of doing 300 million a day for 3 days and driving it up to 58,000 and have literal 22-year-olds that live in a basement but still happen to have 10,000 bitcoins, mm-hmm. were dumping on Michael Saylor. But if he was doing 100 million a day over 10 days instead, his average buy would have been in the like high 40,000s, and he could have picked up an extra 3,000-4,000 bitcoins. Because every single day there's 900 new coins that come on the market and need to be bought. And the day after 58,000, there was no one to buy 900 coins at 58,000. So the price dropped. During his talk with Saif al-Din, he said, you know, the 900 Bitcoin a day are inconsequential because there's 30,000 Bitcoin a day on Binance. But what he doesn't know, because he's new, and what I know because I'm old, is those 30,000 coins are the one coin going back and forth 30,000 times a day in a wash trade. Like, there is no volume. Like, the beast relies on fresh fiat coming in every day through Grayscale. That comes in consistent every day through Square, which comes in consistent through the Cash App every day. It's a nice grind. And those $1 billion injections are nice, but it'll just pump and dump if they keep coming, because the inflation needs to be absorbed. And it's on the backs of the religious. If we want, you know, Bitcoin to help the poor and bank the unbanked, we need to give them a stable price. So to do that, we have to buy every day. We have to absorb like the inflation and the excess. Upward volatility is good. Like that's not too bad, but it's very important that a floor is created like soon after. Like it's not good for Bitcoin's credibility. If it were to go up to $500,000 in a few months and come back down to $80,000, people that bought at 10,000 would still be happy, but it's an absolute horror of a look. Bitcoin crashes 90% again.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. God, you made so many good points that I wanted to.
So that's why growing the floor through things like auto DCA firms, a concentration on automatic saving and accumulation, as opposed to gambling, that's what will bring about hyper-Bitcoinization the quickest way. Just everyone just stop participating in fiat and just start, just move over. Don't consider Bitcoin an investment. Just consider it a migration away from a corrupt system, like into a new system. And so long as enough people learn that there's a clean system in opposition to the corrupt system, people just like continue to migrate. And the migration has commenced. And thanks to like times like this in the market, momentum like really starts to build. But having sat through two long bears, like it'd be nice if these noobs didn't have to take an 80% haircut. Like it'd be good if it just like it's impractical to want it to go up nice and steady, 200% every year forever, but yeah, we might still be stuck at plus 1,000% some years and minus 30% some others.
You made some really good points, but I want to, Joss, you wanted to say something before,
I mean, Ash is very very right. I mean, everyone with DCA, I mean, the more people with DCA, there is like a constant buy pressure. So, it's like, you have this memo, you have like a big whale, and a little fish. And when you put a lot of little fish together, they can get the whale, So that's the power of multiplication of little, like if everyone in the world put like $10 every month to buy Bitcoin, you have this constant buy pressure, and so a well can dip like crazy, and you have all these little fish who are just gonna keep buying whatever the price it is. So it's just a big at the individual scale doesn't change anything, but if you put all these individuals together, it's just like a constant buy pressure.
Numerous.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. So it's like all the big fish together can bite the big whale and the sharks who want to profit and move the price. And at the beginning, you said that you should put like maybe 20% of your income in Bitcoin. I mean, whatever the price it is you put in your DCA, a few years later, you're going to say, damn, I should have put more. Anyway, so it depends on everyone, what's your financial state today? Do you have debt to pay back or no? Do you have like a lot of savings or no? It depends for everyone. But as long as you have a bit of Bitcoin and you keep stacking, you're doing good. That's the thing. And you don't have to compare to anyone. You don't compare to Sailor. Don't compare to
exactly. That's why I tweeted, rise plebs, because I know Hasmik, you tweeted several times on some occasions. You were like, why do we need, I'm just paraphrasing, why do we need institutions if the plebs are just, the general population would just out of stack even $10 or $5 a day, we would reach, a certain market capitalization, a certain price. You want to specify that, what you meant? You know what I mean?
So basically right now, the trading games aside, the zero sum games aside, every day there are 900 new Bitcoins that come into existence. They're like Schrodinger's Bitcoins. Like we know they're coming, but they don't mean anything until the second that they come. So the second they exist, they have to be assigned a price. So we have, X amount of Bitcoins is, Y market cap. Now we've added 900 Bitcoins. like either the market cap stays the same and the price of Bitcoin drops a little, or like the market price like goes up and these new Bitcoins are absorbed at their old price. So it's 50,900 Bitcoins come on the market today. $45 million has to come to account for these new coins. So yeah, if you had 4.5 million people doing $10 a day, they'll pick up these 45 million. And that's it. You've got a price permanently, 50 grand.
That's it. Jeez. That's like nothing.
It might punch through, but the next day there's $45 million coming. It'll pick up. And these people aren't buying to sell. They pick up and they're gone forever. Like these coins will be a Bitcoin-backed loan against these. The one thing I give the big respect to Michael Saylor is the speculative attack and using Bitcoin as pristine collateral. So I really do believe if you're stacking and saving now, like in 3-4 years, you will not need to sell. Like you can collateralize your Bitcoin in a loan product. I'm a bit worried about the loan products now. So I wouldn't. So all due respect to like Unchained Cap and what they do and like all the other providers, but like I still think Bitcoin could take a 50% hit in a day or two. As a hodler, I'm happy to hodl that because it's going to come up anyway. But if I'm in a Bitcoin-backed loan contract, like I could get liquidated. Like I could be asleep and it happens. Like, sure, I'd love to top up my collateral account. Happy to do it. But if it flashes while I'm asleep, like it's still too risky. But I can see in 3-4 years time when Bitcoin is chilling at the $6-8 trillion level, it'll still rip 20-30% in a day either way, but you'll probably never see like 50%. So like March 13th, the COVID crash, it was 60% in 2 days from 10,000 to 4,000. And then, you know, a week later, it was 7,000 again. Like it's fine, like you can hold through it. But if you're in a contract, in a loan, like you could get wrecked. So if you're happy to hold for another 3-4 years, you will never sell Bitcoin in your life ever. You'll get a collateralized loan and just keep refinancing it. So there's less and less coins going to be sold. The person that's saying I'm waiting until it's a million so I can sell it and buy my Lambo. Like you just don't sell it to buy the Lambo. You just put collateral up, get some fiat, and like you go waste your money on a Lambo or whatever it is you want to waste your money on.
What's your estimated percentage like on interest you would receive? I mean, that must be worth it. I mean, in a whatever few years time until your market.
So for me, I would never give up my Bitcoin to earn interest on it.
Exactly.
That for me is too risky. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So if I have all 21 million Bitcoin and I loan you the 21 million and I want 5% interest, where are you going to get me a million Bitcoin from?
Yeah.
So that's those people that are on the give Bitcoin for yield, they're getting wrecked. Like maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but the end game for that is like wreckage. It's the same end game as the fiat system. But until fiat dies, and it will die soon enough, there'll be a little time frame, maybe 10 or 15 years, where we can get fiat with our Bitcoin as collateral. Right now, I think BlockFi charges you 12% interest to get fiat off your Bitcoin. Mm. So if they loan you, say, 10,000 USD, you owe back $11,200. So quite high interest for collateral, which really is quite pristine. It's volatile, but it is quite pristine. I expect interest rates against Bitcoin to come down to maybe 3-4%. And I'd say like major banks like Deutsche Bank will do the multi-sig custody for you, like collateralized loan for 4%. Because like the commercial, Bitcoin isn't here to end the commercial banks. Like the commercial banks will eventually become Bitcoin banks. You keep your Bitcoin at the bank. We're here to get rid of the central bank.
Yeah, exactly. This is a huge misconception I think people have. You know, it's not about getting rid of banks or lending or commercial banks. This is about the real power structures of the central banks. Yeah.
So in terms of dangerous for now to land your Bitcoin, to put your Bitcoin to get a loan. I mean, once Bitcoin is 1 million, that could be fine, because at 1 million, you can move up and down $10,000 in a day. Doesn't make a difference.
Absolutely. Now today, so
you can crash like 50% and go back up, and boom, you're liquidated. And BlockFi can say, oh, where is the liquidation point of all this guy? Okay, let's sell Bitcoin and get more Bitcoin out of it. So it's very dangerous now. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. It's at least what. So do you remember my Bitcoin is a startup framework? Like, we're only Series B in Bitcoin right now. I would probably only trust my money. In a loan scheme, like late Series C or IPO. So we're probably it's after the next halving. So 4 years, I'd say. I'd be more comfortable, like doing a big Bitcoin-backed loan. Like Michael Saylor made a great point just about just bias. Like everything you used to know isn't like always true. Like I've been biased by like two big bear markets. So I always have like thinking forward that they're like, there might be another rip and a crash. But it might just be ends up being like nothing we've ever seen. And you start seeing like commercial banks doing like Bitcoin backed loans because, you know, there was a customer demand for it. But yeah, for me, because I've been burnt so many times over the past like 7 years, like I do not give up my keys. Yeah. Not yet. The yield on Bitcoin now, if you put up over 2.5 Bitcoins with BlockFi, I think they give you 4%.
It's not worth
return in Bitcoin. I'd need 40% to put my money.
Yeah, that's what Preston Fisher said, I think. Yeah.
To give up your keys, like everything, and like you have to pay tax on all of that. Like look, if it was 20% interest, like maybe I'd put like 1% of my stack in like an interest account if it was giving me 20%. Not for 3%, 4%. It's still risky, but like as with all criticisms of Bitcoin, mine included, just give it time and like it won't be a criticism anymore. Like you'll be able to do it safely. Until fiat dies, and then when fiat dies, obviously, what are you going to borrow against your Bitcoin? You'll have to see something else.
Yeah, there were several points I was going to go down the rabbit hole with you guys, but I have to wrap this up because Josh, do you have any final thoughts, or did you want to say something before we wrap this up?
Just stay on Bird and Stack Sats.
Good one. Where can people follow you?
Mostly on Twitter. I'm not very active anymore on social media or anything. I walk a lot, so I don't have so much time to go on Twitter. And because now, back in the day, I was in the North American time zone, so I was able to interact with players and stuff. But now, when they're active, I'm already in bed, so I'm just in the French the French Twitter, I would say.
Yeah. I've got a question, actually. Because you're in France, I'm guessing, what's the payment mechanism? Is it anyone with access to SEPA? Can anyone in Europe use Stack and Sats?
Yeah. Right, anyone in Europe uses
I'll be adding you guys to the list on the next update. Yeah. So I'll put an EU flag next to your name, not just a France flag.
So the thing is, for now, we are starting in October, and we are scaling up. We're scaling up, so we just wanted to start with French-speaking customer for client support.
Yeah,
because I don't know if there is a German guy coming and say, "Oh, what's up?" You know, we need to hire people to make customer support for other languages. So that's why we just limit to French-speaking people. But if you're French and you are in Switzerland or anywhere where the SEPA works, we can onboard you.
And is that KYC light? Is it a KYC light sort of? I mean, is it?
Yeah. So we work a lot not to have KYC at the first euro. So you can, at the moment, you can still onboard and not have KYC at the first euro. So you have KYC after the third delivery, or if you reach accumulated amount of $1,000, or after 90 days after your first purchase. So that's when you need to do KYC. So we work a lot with our lawyers to be able to have this. And then there is an executive order going to come soon where you're going to say, okay, now it's double identification at the first euro for everyone who wants to do any crypto-related stuff. Even crypto to crypto, you're going to have to do double KYC. So we are ready to switch to this, but as we work so much to have this feature, we keep having now. You can onboard, test, try it out. If you're not happy, you just don't have to onboard and you just don't continue your DCA. That's pretty much it.
Gotcha.
Boo! You have to continue the DCA no matter what. You got to start it and you got to stick to it.
You know, we want to our first customer is Bitcoin enthusiast to know a bit about Bitcoin, but our aim is to be accessible to anyone. So as long as you have a Bitcoin wallet and a French or European account, you can be a customer. What we want to do is like to onboard our moms or grandma even. So we aim for mass and to democratize it. So that's why we want to be as accessible and okay, you can try, you're not happy, just you stop and you have that was our approach. But soon we're gonna have to be a KYC from the first euro. We are just waiting for the executive order to be published, which is kind of sad, but yeah, that's how we will influence. It's a nightmare. Regulation here is nightmare already.
look, in terms of that, for me, March 13 was Judgment Day. So that's effectively for me was the end of the fiat system, the death, 0% reserves. So I think we are now at the end of the beginning of hyper-Bitcoinization.
Beautifully said.
So prepare yourself for the wars to come, especially around things like KYC and this and that. This is we're in there, and then they fight you. So it's the end of the beginning.
At the same time, they shoot themselves in the foot, because they say, okay, so now there is a regulation for Bitcoin. This is this and that. So we just follow the regulation to be able to give Bitcoin to the mass. So now you say, but we don't like Bitcoin. We're going to unregulate it. So you just, the Pandora box is open now. So, they're bad. Now Bitcoin is legal somehow.
Yeah.
So it's a bad for good somehow.
Right.
You just regulated, but now you are regulated. So you have accepted it. So you cannot go back now. I mean, Bitcoin in most countries, there is still countries, where it's still very illegal and, but at some point, they're just going to have to deal with it and regulate it. It's regulated, so it's just official out in the open. And they're bad. They just shoot themselves in the foot for me. So regulation is bad, but regulation is good as well.
eventually, it'll all go away. Eventually, all of the politicians will be holding Bitcoin, and none of them are going to write bad laws for themselves. The laws will only get friendlier, I feel. So it's not a bad thing if we got a couple of politicians holding Bitcoin.
Yeah, the more and more you're skin in the game now.
You find that no matter what your system of belief and all of that was before Bitcoin, once you're a Bitcoiner, like, you are interested in the success of Bitcoin.
Sure. And we are still so early.
Yeah, we're still so early. Yeah, we're going to emphasize that. Yeah.
So early.
Yeah. On a final note, I just wanted, to give a shout out to Economa Alchemist. Maybe we can, continue this talk sometime in the future. He did some home mining and did a, real elaborated calculation. I'm sure Hess McCook can take a look on that. And he did make a profit. In 31 days of mining so far, he received 0.0193813 sats rewarded.
Yeah.
$220
extra to cost. So that's not a profit yet.
Okay.
I'm hopeful for him it is, because he paid $2,800 for the rig.
Yeah.
So he needs 4 months of this. Now, if the hash rate doesn't change for him in 4 months, he'll break even and start making some money. And look, that might be the case because Antminer isn't shipping S19s until August. And the hash rate, the difficulty is actually going down this fortnight, 1.5%. So if you can manage to find a rig, I don't know how he managed it. I think he had a local supplier that was able to get him some.
Right.
You won't be able to get it straight from Antminer until August.
Right.
So if you can, and you can track down, you know, electricity, I think I saw he was getting it for 8 cents or 9 cents. In Australia, unfortunately, we pay like 19, 20 cents. So in Australia, it'd probably never be practical for us. But I think there is a bit of a mining squeeze at the moment in terms of fabrication. Not a lot of rigs out there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find a rig and get it online, you know, at 8 to 10 cents, yes, there's a discount in it.
And it's non-KYC.
And it's non-KYC.
So that's the thing again with numbers, because, you know, your number is very precise. You know, it's talk to us. But the thing is, how do you evaluate a non-KYC Bitcoin? You have to put a price on it. And I know people are ready to pay 30% just to not have a KYC Bitcoin.
Would it be an ATM or whatever? You know.
Exactly. So again, the price. So you have these numbers. But how do you self-value the fact that you get your Satoshi non-KYC? Mm-hmm. And you can, even some people can say, okay, I pay double. I don't want KYC. So maybe in 10 years, you're going to say, oh, I just overpay my Bitcoin at the time, but now I'm happy because I don't have KYC on this Bitcoin.
The problem sometimes with home mining, if I were to get myself a couple of rigs and hook them up to the wall, I'd use so much power, like the authorities might come to my house thinking I've been doing hydroponic weed growing.
But that, you know,
the power bill will go through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can justify that. So, guys, I'm real sorry. I have to wrap this up because my baby's waiting for. We should continue this talk. Really enjoyed this. Are there any final thoughts or links you want to add where people can follow you, Joss?
Just check out Sofit Bitcoin if you speak French. Check out Sofit Bitcoin. We are preparing the second edition for end of August in Biarritz. And we are looking for sponsors. So if you're a Bitcoin company and want to sponsor the Bitcoin scene in France, you're happy to contribute to Sofin Bitcoin and to make and to spread the Bitcoin knowledge in French-speaking country.
All right, people can find me on Twitter at FriarHass, FriarHass. So keep that stack in hand strong. Love yourself, love others, and just stack daily, and that's basically how we win. It's as easy as that.
And forget the price.
Forget the price.
Okay.
Definitely.
That was nice talking to you guys.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon. All right. Take care. Thanks so much. Bye. How'd you like that? Did you love this conversation? I really enjoyed this conversation. I wish we could have gone deeper, but because of time pressure, I had to, you know, cut it off. We're going to continue this, pretty sure, in the near future. So, you know, the whole, you know, ethical and spiritual and principle of our discussion is, you know, just if you don't want to have headaches, just take your daily medicine. Would it be on an hourly basis, daily, weekly, whatever? Just, you know, auto stack, auto DCA. You, once in a while, yeah, you can buy the, you know, the fucking dip, but that's the way to go, because we're so early into hyper-Bitcoinization. Don't think about the price, because all is going to be denominated in, it's going to be the unit account, it's going to be Bitcoin, and the purchasing power, as I said in this talk, you know, it's going to be unimaginable for every single sat, for every single Satoshi, for every single Bitcoin. So we're still early, but it can go very suddenly, gradually and suddenly, as Parker Lewis says. So I hope you really enjoyed this. Let me know your comments, your questions, and any other suggestions for panel discussions on this topic or other related topics. And please give it a like, review, 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes. Follow Joss and Hass McCook on Twitter. Read Hass articles. It's amazing articles, a bunch of, you know, huge knowledge, huge content on all kinds of FUDs, Bitcoin FUDs. energy consumption or, Bitcoin as a startup. So it's really, really mind-blowing, the content Hasmik Cook puts out. So, and check out Joss AutoDCA platform. It's called surfingbitcoin.com. And I'm going to put the other links in the show notes. So thank you so much for your support, and I'll see you soon again. Bye.